Thank the Lord for that song this morning. I'm just so thankful to be serving a Savior that is as powerful as He is. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. And that last verse that they sang said, what a powerful name it is. There is still power in the name of Jesus today. And I am so thankful that when we face problems and we have difficulties that we go through, that there is great power in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember the lame man that Peter and John was, they reached out and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And then later the people were just amazed at, oh, your righteousness and what you have done. And they said, this is no righteousness of our own, but it is in faith in what? In the name of Jesus. And that's where the power still is today. I'm very thankful for that. I trust that we've all had a blessed week. There were advantages when I taught Sunday school. I didn't hear what was going on in the adult Sunday school, so I didn't ever have to apologize if there was some crossover. But the Lord knows what we need. The subject that the Lord has put on my heart this week to share is about the most valuable gift. Most of us probably here and those that have joined us virtually this morning, probably many of us have received some gifts this week, possibly given some gifts and received some gifts. A gift by definition, and this is a little contrary to the story that Brother Randy told us now, but a gift by definition is something that is voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. It's a donation. It's something that you've given. But there are gifts of obligation. And I dare say that probably some of you maybe have given or received gift of obligation. It's more about what people think about you if you don't give something, and so then you buy something to kind of fill that obligation. Those don't really bring a lot of joy, do they? When you give because you're obligated. Some of you, there are gifts of necessity. I know some of the teenage girls got together at our home a week or two ago, and I think there were about 20 of them, and they had a gift exchange. And I would say among those 20 girls that were there, some of them were probably excited about it, and some of them, we have to do it. It's of necessity. We have to, you know, it's a gift exchange, so we have to do it, and so we'll just enter into it. Those also don't always bring a large measure of joy. But what brings the greatest joy and the greatest blessings are when you give a gift from the heart. And you know what I found? The greatest gifts are not the gifts that cost the most. Sometimes they don't cost anything, but it's because it's from a heart of love. The most valuable gift that my wife and I got this week was just having our children home. That was better than anything we unwrapped. Now, it cost them something to be there. But, you know, that was the greatest gift that we had, was just their presence. Not what we unwrapped, but the other kind. And that's some of the greatest love and the greatest gifts that I've ever received have to do with love that people have shown me. It's had to do with acceptance more than it has been something material that's been given. So with that as a little foundation, I'd like us to consider for a few minutes, and then we're going to transition from there. But Brother Randy started off here this morning, and so we're going to very briefly touch on it. But what has God given to us? Do you know God has given us gifts as well? And Sunday school went a little different direction than where we're going. But God has given a wonderful gift, and it was read, but in John 3:16, it says, for God so what? love. Do you realize that was the essence of why God did what he did? It wasn't out of obligation. It wasn't out of necessity. It was because of love. For God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you realize that the essence of love, it goes way beyond what we say? Because it's one thing to tell someone you love them, and it's something else to prove that and show that by the way that you treat someone. God did not just say, I love you. He said it, but he showed us his love and demonstrated his love through the giving of what was most valuable to him. He gave his Son for us. So love is more than an expression. Do you know that true love prompts action? Have you ever had someone that told you, well, I love you, but their action said just the opposite? Doesn't feel very good, does it? The words that they said, it belittles those words of love. Because if you truly love, then act like it. Show it by the way you treat me. Show it by your love, acceptance. Show it by your conduct. Show it by your attitude. It goes way beyond than what we say. And this is the summation of the message. The most valuable gift that we can receive or give. It has to do with your love and with our heart. So God's heart was one of love for us. And so he gave his only begotten Son. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're just going to be very brief here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is what? It's the gift of God." Salvation was not something that we deserved. It wasn't something that I was good enough or I earned it by what I did. But it was a gift of God. God has a gift to give to all of us. And it's a gift of salvation. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit." You realize the Holy Spirit was also a gift. So God gave a gift of his Son. He gave the gift of salvation. He gave the gift of the Holy Spirit. This isn't because we worked hard enough to earn it. Do you realize we're all so unworthy this morning? But it was a gift that God has given. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is what? Death, but the gift of God is eternal life." The gift of God. So this was something that was more than just something that we unwrapped that package and looked at it. But this is something that we have to look forward to also. He forgave us of our sin. He saved us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And then he said, "I'm going to give you the gift of eternal life." Isn't that wonderful this morning? But do you realize when someone gives you a gift, did anybody get a gift yesterday and you looked at it and was wrapped up and said, "Okay, I'm going to just set it up on the shelf to look at for the next few months"? When someone gives you a gift, what do you do with it? You open it up, right? Let's see what's in there. Let's enjoy this. Let's open it up. Do you realize that God has a wonderful gift that many people have set it on the shelf? They're not saved today. They don't have power in their life. They don't have eternal life. They have eternal damnation ahead of them. But if they would just open up their heart and accept this wonderful gift that God has given. There are people that are living below their privileges. You can look at how people have, we heard in Sunday school, peace. They have the joy of the Lord. And they have these blessings of God. And it's like, "Well, I don't have that." Well, the Lord has a gift that he's wanting to give to you, but you're going to have to reach out your hand and take it and accept the gift. Have you ever tried to give someone something to someone and they rebuffed it? There are people that do that. maybe reach out and try to show love to them and they give you the cold shoulder. Doesn't feel very good, does it? Do you know that's what people are doing to the Lord? He has a wonderful gift to give to them, and they're turning their back on something that is so valuable that God has given to us. So God has done so much for us. Are we accepting it? Are we using what God's given to us this morning? Well, 2 years after Jesus was born, somewhere 18 months to 2 years, around that vicinity, there were some wise men that heard about the birth. They'd read in the scripture that there was going to be a Messiah that was going to be born. And they went in pursuit to find the Messiah, that one in whose name there is power. They went looking for that gift that God had sent to the world. And they went seeking Him, and as you can read over in Matthew chapter 2, that these wise men, they came from Persia and Arabia. There's a little debate and some historical variation on who these wise men were. Philosophers, astronomers, priests, even some speculate that they were kings in their own country. But they were men of renown. And they were out seeking this gift that the scripture said that God was going to send. And over in Matthew in the second chapter, we find that these men, in their pursuit, they saw a star and they rejoiced. In verse 10, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy because they followed the star to the place where God's gift was. And it says, when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down. And what did they do? They worshiped Him. This is God's gift. God has something very special for all of us this morning. I don't want to live without being able to enjoy the gifts that God's given to us. Forgiveness, salvation, the Holy Spirit, with a bright hope of another day, with eternal life. They came and they worshiped Him, and it says they opened their treasures. That almost starts to sound a little bit like a gift exchange. I've come to find the most valuable gift that God gave to me. And these men came and they fell down and worshiped Him. And they had brought treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and there's symbolism in those gifts. But they were in pursuit of the Savior that they could worship Him. And when they found the Messiah, they gave the best that they had as well. They gave back, not because they had to. You realize these wise men did not have to have brought gifts. But when they were going to find the Messiah, they probably thought, what can we take to this king that would have value? The gold representing royalty and value, and the frankincense, represented divinity, and the fragrance that was used in worship, and the myrrh that was used to embalm bodies, and perfume representing the suffering of humanity. There's a lot there. But they brought that to the king. They brought that to the king, the best that they had. Do you know they didn't bring their leftovers? Because God did so much, and they wanted to come and give something to Him. Well, do you know that the Lord is not going to force any of us this morning to give anything back to Him? Can we get that down in our hearts this morning? God doesn't want this to be like one of those gifts of obligation that we say, well, you know, I know my wife gave me something, and so I'm going to have to get her something. You know, how much did you spent this much, so I'm going to have to go spend that much too, or else I'm kind of inferior. I dare say if you've thought of that this week. But do you realize that a true gift is something that, you know what, I don't want to give this because I have to, but I just, it's a demonstration of my love. One of the greatest gifts that I ever gave to my wife, and I don't know that she realized it, but it was from me, and I've told this story, was a little $5 flower on Valentine's Day because that's all the money I had to my name. We'd been married a few years, and I had no money. We were out traveling, working for the Lord. I had no money, and I was about in tears going from store to store trying to find something to give to my wife on Valentine's Day. And I found a little flower about like this in a little pot. There's a rest of the story of that one, but it died. But do you realize that it was not the amount of money? Let's not measure our gifts by the amount of money this morning. We could go spend hundreds of dollars on each other this morning, and you know that doesn't change the true essence of what love is about. Love is about acceptance. Love is about, I want you to know I care about you. I want you to know I'm thinking about you. That's what a true gift is about this morning. The world is perverted this whole season on this gift-giving thing. I'm not against giving gifts, but you understand what I'm saying? But when God gave, He gave something from the heart. And that's what these wise men did. The scripture in 2 Corinthians in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 7 says, every man according as he what? Purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. Okay, so it's offering time, and we put the offering box here, and we say, well, and I've known people to do this. I've known people to walk up front and put money in the box, and you didn't know how much they were putting in, and I found out how much they were putting in because they told me, and they put in something at a revival meeting somewhere. It wasn't here, so I wouldn't be telling this story. But they went in and they put a dollar in the box so everybody would see them like they were supporting the meeting. They should have just stayed in their seat. Because they were giving to be seen, it wasn't from the heart. There was not a lot of value there. But do you realize that it's not the amount that matters to God? It's the heart. That's why we don't tithe. That's why some people say, oh, I don't have to give anything. No, the New Testament says everything is God's, but everything you give should be because of your love to God. It's not because I have to give 10% or I have to give 20%. It's because anything we give should be because, Lord, I love you. The Lord is not twisting our arms to give Him gifts this morning. But do you know it is true when you love, there's going to be times of gifts. So, I have a question for us this morning. As God has given us something so wonderful, have you returned like the wise men to give a gift to the Savior so that you can remind Him that you love Him? I haven't forgotten you, Lord. I haven't walked away from my love. I haven't walked away from my experience of salvation, Lord. I just want you to know that I still love you. And I'm going to demonstrate that love to you, Lord. By how did Jesus say it? If a man love me, he will do what? He'll keep my commandments. There's a lot of people, Jesus said, they draw nigh to Him with their mouth. I want everybody to think I'm a saint in good standing. Want everybody to think I'm doing pretty good. And maybe I'll dress modestly, and maybe I'll come to service, and I'll put money in the offering. But I'm really doing my own thing. What are we saying to the Lord then? What is the most valuable thing that you have this morning? What's the most valuable thing that you can give to the Savior and to the Lord? There is a passage, and it's a beautiful story over in the book of Mark in the 14th chapter. And as we read this story, I'd like to remind us again that God wants a cheerful giver. Now, for people that have kind of been around church a lot, and young people and children that haven't really gotten an experience with God, they start chafing under what they call rules that they have to follow. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I have to do this. And when you're in your home, you respect and obey your parents, all right? If for no other reason. However, do you know that there's something that's so much better than living a certain way just because I have to? Because there's not a lot of joy in that, is there? But do you realize the joy in giving and in living for God? It has to do with a heart choice. I'm doing this now because I know what God's Word says. God is a holy God. And how much better way to please God and show Him I love Him than to allow His own righteousness in my life? So maybe I personally, it's not my preference. But you know, there's a couple things I bought my wife. I don't want it. You don't want me to have it. You know, some of the clothes, we bought some clothes that I knew she was looking at. Well, I don't want it. I would want something different, but it wasn't about pleasing me. You understand? I wanted something that she wanted. I wanted to give a gift that I knew she wanted. But why is it sometimes with God that we just want to give what we want? A gift is about, I want to please you. Oh, well, Johnny might like this. So it's not about what I like. I might like blue, but he might like red. So if I'm getting him a gift, let's get red. You know, let's get... So what are we bringing to the Lord this morning? Are we bringing to God a gift that is valuable to Him, that we know pleases Him? That's what righteousness and holiness is all about. It's not just because it's the way I see it. It's the way that God is. And the best thing I could give to Him is something that pleases Him. Okay, so in Mark chapter 14, in the third verse, it says, being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it over his head. She had an alabaster box, and inside there was costly perfume. We are in the book of Mark, chapter 14, the third verse. So she brought this alabaster box of very costly perfume, and she broke it open, and she poured it over his head. And there were some that were standing around watching this, and it said they became indignant within themselves. And they said, what is the waste of this ointment made? You're just wasting this. It could have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. This eighth verse, it says, she hath done what? She had done what she could. She brought the most valuable thing that she had, and in her worship and in her devotion, she came to Jesus and she gave it to Him. She didn't bring leftovers. She didn't bring 10%. She didn't bring a tithe. She brought the thing that was most valuable, and she brought it and gave it to Jesus. She anointed Him, and Jesus honored that. Just like He honored the widow woman that put how much in the offering? Two mites. So insignificant to the one that maybe put in hundreds, so to speak. But she was giving the best that she had, and God honored her heart. Is it fair for us to examine what gift we've been giving to the Lord this morning? Have we been living to please ourselves and giving God some of the extra? Have we been saying, well, this is what I will give to God and this is what I... Or are we willing this morning, not out of coercion or force, to say, Lord, I love you with all of my heart and I want to serve you and I want you to know that I love you, and the most valuable gift that we have, it's not even the perfume or the two mites. It's that heart of love that says, Lord, everything that I have, it's yours. Is there anybody that's been holding on to something this morning? How much are you willing to give this morning? You don't have to give anything. You don't have to give anything. But do you know the joy of serving the Lord? The joy of a love relationship is when you are 100%. That's what makes strong marriages. It's where there's 100%. But not because you have to, but because you choose to. If you find yourself in a place chafing a little bit under what's expected by the church, you are missing the essence of serving God. If you look on and say, well, I don't want to do what they do, you don't have to do what they do, but I'll tell you what, if we want to please God, and we want to please Him and have an acceptable sacrifice, it's not in the amount, but it's in the heart. And if I know that this is what pleases God and I really love Him, I'll say, Lord, I really don't understand that, and maybe that's not my preference, but you know what, Lord? If that's what Your Word says and that's what makes You happy, I freely will do this because of love. And so Jesus said she done what she could, and she's come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial for her. I take great joy in preaching this message because it teaches us the essence of what it means to serve God today. She did what she could. Not a part. She didn't just go part way, but she said, Lord, I'm going to bring the most valuable gift I have. And it's not in the amount. That little flower that I gave to Renee was far inferior to a beautiful bouquet of a dozen roses that I could have brought to her. But I couldn't afford it. I didn't have it. But I gave her everything that I had. What are we doing for the Lord this morning? You know, the happiness comes, I find the greatest joy comes from giving from the heart, not because you have to, not because of what's expected. So we can bring our money, and you know there's a place for that. We can bring our seconds, we can bring our sacrifices. But you know what the Scripture says about sacrifice? What does God take greater joy in than sacrifice? Obedience. You know, we can never give enough money to cover up disobedience in our life. Because what's most valuable is the heart. We can come with our good works. We can come with the things that we have left in the world. I've left the world here. We can take and say, I dress modestly, and those things are important. But do you know what the Lord's really, the most valuable thing is found in Proverbs 23:26. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. He said, my son, he said, give me, somebody remember what? Give me thy heart. Give me your heart. Do you know why He wants our heart this morning? That's the most valuable thing. That's our affections. If God has our heart, He's got my time. He's got my talents. He's got my money. He's got everything when He has our heart. And the Lord's not going to force any of us. And you know what? We can give part of it to the Lord this morning. But I want you to know, we will never find that true joy and serving the Lord until we come as God has given us the most valuable and wonderful gifts through His Son and Holy Spirit, that we can come and say, Lord, I may not have a lot, but I give You everything I have. Lord, here's my heart. And when there's a need and the Lord calls on us, we're going to step up to the plate because He's already got a heart. And when we read in the Bible and we see that we fell short of what it says, we're not going to excuse it or justify it. We'll say, Lord, I'm not there yet, but I want to get there because, Lord, You have my heart. So I want to live in obedience to You. Let's put value on our heart this morning. That's the greatest gift. That's the reason why the Scripture said, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Because Jesus went on another place over in Matthew 6:21. He said, for where your treasure is, there will what? There will your heart be also. So where's our treasure this morning? Do you know when you have given your heart to something, that's what starts to shape your decisions and choices in life? There's a lot of other places I could be this morning, just like you. There's a lot of other things we could have done with our lives this morning. But do you know what the Lord wants to shape all of those decisions and choices is that we brought the most valuable gift to the Lord and said, Lord, I know it doesn't compare to what You've done for me, but I give You my heart. Let's put value on that this morning. The Lord has done so much for us. And we are unworthy of everything He's done. And the least that I can do this morning is to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my heart. You've got my love, not just with my mouth, not just because I can put my hand up during a song service or just because I can testify, but Lord, I want You to control my decisions and my time and my finances and my attitudes and all of those things, Lord. I give You my heart because it's what I have. This is the most valuable gift that we can bring back to the Savior.